your Bibles to the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23. Amen. Amen. It is good to be here. The Lord is moving this morning and stirring our hearts. We're thankful today for all that He has done. Thankful for the 8:30 service this morning and the spirit we felt. We're thankful for you folks being so faithful to come at our 10 o'clock service. We're looking for the Lord to do great things. Now, if you have not been here the last couple of weeks, we felt led by the Lord to do a series on sheep. And before we began really getting into the nature of sheep, we could not talk about sheep without first talking about the shepherd. So we spent a Sunday or two talking about the shepherd of the sheep. And how our heart has been made to rejoice because of our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible, oftentimes, and Jesus, particularly in His teachings, He used things in nature to show us things about Himself and or sometimes things about us and our nature. So He would use things in nature to teach us some lessons. And I thought even something as simple as the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky, God used that when speaking to Abraham. He drew from nature to give Abraham an image as to how He was going to bless Abraham and all the world because of Abraham's faith. And so He used the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky. And so one of the things of nature that God uses, and there's many, many, a long list of things in nature, but one of the things that He used is that of sheep. And so today we're looking at this second part, one phrase really, if you will, out of verse 2, out of Psalm 23. Psalm 23, but here's what the Bible says. The Lord is my shepherd. We spoke about that last Sunday. I shall not want. Here's what I want you to focus on today so you can write this down, this phrase over the top of your notepad. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, I want to say something, that word make, that verb there, maketh. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I'm not going to preach on that, but it's to me, it is a revelation of a sovereign God in heaven. He maketh me. It's a picture to me of a God who is in command and in control and who is in charge and who is above all. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And so those green pastures, obviously the parallel there, it is a picture of peace, of contentment. It is a picture of harmony. It is a picture of rest that we see in the life of the sheep. Now, as you and I, as God's children, this is one of the places that you and I, it's possible for us to exist in. It's where the shepherd wants us, is to rest in Him, to live our life in a place of rest and contentment and satisfaction and in a place of peace. Now, I've got to say that is where we can live our life as a believer. And I stress that because when we look at the world around us today, we see anything but rest, peace, contentment and satisfaction. And so the world around us is a crazy place. There's an absence of peace in the world around us. There is no rest in the world around us. Everybody is trying to keep up with the Joneses, as you will. And everybody is in the rat race of life. There is so much trouble in the world today. And you and I as believers living in the world, not of the world, but we have to live in the world. You and I as believers living in the world, all of that trouble, all of this cocktail of emotion that the world has that is anything but peace and contentment and rest, it sometimes creeps into our lives and we let it do so. And as a result of it creeping into our lives, sometimes it creeps into our church. Sometimes churches exactly mimic the world around them rather than stand apart or be separate from the world around them. But this picture of green grass, this green pastures that the sheep are made to lie down in, it is a picture of rest, it's a picture of contentment, and it's a picture of peace. If we could be very honest here this morning, if we ask for a show of hands or we come to you with a microphone, if you'd stand up and share, we won't do that, but I'm just saying for an illustration that if we could come to you and let you share your heart this morning, you would find out probably that not everybody here today is at a place of peace or at a place of rest or at a place of contentment and satisfaction. You've had troubles. You've had anxiety. You've had various things that have crept into your life. And today, you are just a troubled soul. And you are far from the peace, the rest, the contentment, the laying down in green pastures that the psalmist is writing about in this text. Well, let me tell you to begin with. If you remember, I told you that I become really good friends at a point in my life with a man who was a shepherd. He probably called himself a farmer, but he was a shepherd. He raised sheep and he sold lambs all over the world. And he was sharing with me that there's several factors that must come into play before sheep can lie down in green pastures. Before sheep will lay down in rest and peace and contentment, there's four qualifiers, if you will. There's four things that must be in place before a sheep can do that. You cannot make sheep lie down. You can teach your dog to sit. You can teach him to lay down, roll over, and all that kind of stuff, and catch the bone and fetch the ball and whatever it may be, but you can't teach a sheep that. A sheep cannot be made to lie down. Four circumstances must be in place before a sheep will lay down. Write these down. Number one, they must be free from fear. They must be free from fear. My buddy was telling me how that he could have his sheep out there grazing on the hillside and how that they could go by an old grown-up fence row. And as they would go by that grown-up fence row, how that a rabbit would shoot out because the sheep had startled the rabbit. But a rabbit would shoot out and it would so scare the sheep. Remember now, sheep are fearful. They are full of anxiety and they are easily scared. And he would tell me how a rabbit could shoot out of a fence row and that's all it took to instill panic in the sheep and they would begin to stampede across a pasture. He said sometimes it didn't even have to be the whole flock of sheep, but it could just be one lone sheep kind of out away from the rest of the flock, and it would get over near the fence row and a rabbit would shoot out, and that one sheep would become scared. That one sheep would become panicked and frightened, and it would take off and it would incite fear in the rest of the sheep and they would take off. I find it no strange things that the Lord has, even beginning in the Old Testament, has compared you and I to sheep. In fact, he called us, if you remember, Psalm 100 verse 3, the sheep of his pasture. And so it's no strange thing that he compares us to sheep, because at the end of the day, what it comes down to is that you and I are much like sheep in this matter here. We are fearful creatures. It doesn't take much at times to bring fear to our hearts or our lives. For sheep, it's the unknown, it's the unexpected that may startle them. It may be something very small like a rabbit. It may be something very big like a coyote or a large wild dog. But you and I are very fearful, and it's a large makeup of our nature. And the reason we know this is because one of the enemy's number one tactics, and you remember we have an enemy, don't you? Do you remember that? Amen. Well, we have an enemy, and his name is Satan. But one of his number one tactics in the life of the believer is to strike fear into the hearts of God's children. And the reason it is one of his number one tactics is because the enemy knows, after studying human nature and human personality for 6,000 years, for 6,000 years. He knows that we are, at the end of the day, we're fearful creatures. And that's why God has spoke to us and said this, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but I have given you a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. He has given us a spirit of rest and of peace. And the enemy knows that. And so he tries to strike fear into our hearts. Well, before a sheep can be made to lie down in green pastures, that place of rest and contentment, he has to be free of fear. It's interesting to note, my friend said it was amazing that all he had to do when sheep were scared and fearful and frightened, he just had to walk through his pasture. He just had to step out of his house and step out to his barn area, his barnyard, if you will. And there he was within easy view of the sheep, and the sheep could see him. And he described how that it had always amazed him through years of raising sheep, that all he had to do was just make himself known to show up, and his peace, his sheep would suddenly become at peace again and at ease. Well, I want you to understand something. There's only one thing that will bring you freedom from fear, and that is the presence of the Master. As Joy's already said up here, you've got to get your eyes off the storm. Get your eyes off the wind and the waves. Get your eyes off the thing that struck fear, uncertainty, anxiety inside of your heart, and get your eyes on the shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and one day the chief shepherd who will appear. And get your eyes upon the Master and realize that he still is the master of the seas. Only focusing and fixing on Jesus can bring freedom from fear inside the life of a believer. So a sheep will never lay down until he is free from fear. But not only fear, and we really are fearful creatures, aren't we? It's amazing how that the unknown or the unexpected can so strike fear inside of our hearts. It's amazing how one phone call, one conversation, one little word somebody says to us, and it brings fear into our heart and worries into our heart, and we become frightened and we become anxious and we become scared. And my friend, listen, in the presence of the Master, there is power. There's a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind. There is rest, there is peace, and there is contentment. So sheep have to be free from the freedom of fear, but they also have to be free from the freedom of friction, if you will. The freedom of tension, if you will. Let me explain. My friend told me about how that, he explained how that within his sheep, there's always, he said, always through the years, he said there is always be one old domineering, arrogant, self-right, not self-righteous, but self-right ewe that would be in his pastures. And he said that this arrogant, self-righteous, self-right, domineering old ewe, she would go around and cause trouble to all the other ewes in his flocks. In fact, he said, with chickens, it's called the pecking order. All animals kind of have this in one degree or another. With chickens, it's a pecking order. I've always had some yard birds around, some chickens at home. I don't have any down here because it's my understanding that if I have chickens here, I can't even shake hands with you chicken farmers at church. I have to say hey to you across the sanctuary. We can't get these birds mixed up, you know. But they have a pecking order. It's interesting to watch those chicks start working out that pecking order of who's boss. And with sheep, it's a budding order. And so there's always this old, arrogant, domineering, self-right and self-righteous you who will go around and butt the other sheep even while they're trying to lay down and be at peace and be in contentment in those green pastures. My buddy said it's funny to watch the other sheep will be laying there. He didn't take it funny, but it was a serious matter to him. And he said they wouldn't be bothering anybody being green pastures laying down. And he said you could see that ewe coming, and he said she'd get close, and then she'd get stiff-legged, and she would cock her head sideways and lay her ears back, and she would just ram some of those other sheep that were at rest and at peace. And friend, listen, we need to understand there's always been that kind of sheep in the church. We're adults here. We can talk about this thing. I always called them buzzards because let there be some old rotting piece of rumor floating around. Let there be some old rotting piece of a tale going around, and this person, they're the first to fly over to it and start eating on this old dead meat. And they may run around in arrogance and self-right and self-righteousness and pomp and try to butt other people and get them up out of their peace and their rest, and it stirs up the body of Christ. It stirs up believers who are at peace and at rest. There's always been those kind in the church, and sheep can't enjoy quietness and stillness and peace. And lay down in those green pastures when there is not freedom from friction. I will say this, that one of the things my buddy, he stressed to me that many times he's had to deal with such a ewe. The conversation never went to how he dealt with it, but I know that it in some way was tied with his rod. He used his rod to correct that ewe and put that ewe in its place. And so the Lord can certainly handle people like that. But one thing that this shows me when I think about this friction that comes sometimes from an arrogant, self-willed you, not necessarily a woman, it could be a man in the church. It tells me this is an individual who's not been in the presence of Christ. Because when you get in the presence of Christ, there is a spirit of humility. There is a spirit of meekness. There is a spirit of brokenness. There is a spirit of stillness and a spirit of quietness. The spirit of Christ is not a spirit of arrogancy. It's not a spirit of stirring up trouble or stirring up emotion. It's not a... I feel like somebody's getting this right now and sitting there thinking, he's talking about me. Not intentionally, let's just say it like that. But I think about that. I think one time, one Sunday morning, I always sit over there on that side in one of my pastorates, just like I do here. And one Sunday morning while the choir was singing, I remember there was a lady that got mad and angry, and she got up and stormed out of the church and slammed the church doors when she went out, and it caught my attention, everybody else's attention, and right after church, I told a couple of our deacons, I said, I need both of you, and I need you to go get that woman and her husband, and let's meet in my office. We gotta stop this right here, see what's going on. And so we got back there, and I said, you know, ma'am, can you, you know, what's going on? And she said, I got mad. And I said, well, I seen that, and everybody else did too, but what's going on? She said, well, I heard this, and it made me mad. And I said, so let me say two things right here. Number one, you just heard something and it made you mad. Nothing was done to you, nothing was said to you, but you just heard something and you got mad. And I said, and number two, you're mad about something that you don't even know truth about. You're mad about just an old rumor that's floating around, like a dead piece of carcass that somebody's eat on, and now they're trying to pass it around and passing around. And then she made this statement. She said, yeah, well, she said, I got mad about that, and that's just who I am. And she said, it's my right. I can get mad if I want to. And I said, if you're a child of God, you have no rights. Because when you went to Calvary and God saved you, you give up all of your rights. I don't have a right to get mad. I don't have a right to get bitter. I don't have a right to get angry. When I fell at the cross, I surrendered all of that to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I do it now, I'm wrong and I'm in sin. But I give up all of my rights. I have no rights as a child of God. He is my shepherd, and so I follow Him and His Spirit's leading. And so sheep can't lay down as long as there is this friction. But when they're free of friction, and I'll tell you what will happen, the same thing that causes freedom from fear. If that old arrogant, self-righteous, budding you will fall before the throne of God and get in the presence of the Master, get in His Word. There'll be a sense of humility. There'll be no pride. There'll be a spirit of meekness and quietness and stillness. And I promise you this, there's far more in the Word of God about a child of God being still and being quiet and being at peace than there is about a child of God being loud, boisterous, always hunting down that rotting piece of meat. I don't know how we got off on buzzards from sheep, but we sure have made it from here to there, hadn't we? But back to the sheep. So sheep have to be free of those tensions where they can lay in peace and stillness and in quietness the way God's intended for us to do. Let me say this too. Number three, they have to be free from from pest, if you will. There's all kinds of flies that will bite on sheep. And they get ticks. And so this requires a couple of things. Let me say to begin with, that when sheep are aggravated with these flies, just like you folks with your cattle or horses, when sheep are aggravated with these flies and overcome with ticks, it's not good for their health. They cannot, not only can they not lie down in green pastures, but they cannot pasture and graze as they should because they spend all of their time fighting these flies, fighting these ticks, running around and around. And that's very much like you and I with our troubles and our anxieties and our worries. And I would like to say, I've been saved over 22 years preaching for the same. I would like to say that along the way, through all of my Bible college or Bible schools, in my study of God's Word, I'd like to say I come to a place where I have mastered anxieties and worries, but I've not. Worries and anxieties still overtake us, and there's things we're fretful over, and I know I'm not fretful over anything right now, but by sundown this evening or by sunup in the morning, I could be overcome and overtaken with anxiety. And so when these sheep are aggravated by these pests, these tormentors, these aggravations, the shepherd requires two things for him. Number one, he has to give them extra care. He has to apply medicines and ointments and maybe dip them to get the tick out of their fleece, the ticks out of their fleece and so forth. And so it requires that the master or the shepherd, if you will, give them extra care. I just want to say something right there, and I don't think I have to preach on this. You're going to get it real quick. But since I've been walking with the Lord, I have found that not only does He care for me, He cares for me, but I have found that it always seems like He spends extra care on me. He does extra. He's never given me just what I need, but He's always given me more. I'm not preaching about wealth and health and prosperity. I'm not saying your bank account's supposed to overflow and you can touch a Cadillac in the parking lot and it'll become yours. But what I'm saying is that He has always given me in abundance. He's always blessed me with more than I deserve. Not just enough, but He's given over and above what I could ever ask for or what I could ever think. He's been a good shepherd to me. That's what I'm trying to say. Not only is it extra care, but what the shepherd has to do now is daily he has to walk among his flock. Daily. Boy, I'm so glad that I don't have a shepherd who just visits me every other day or every other week or every other month. But I've got a shepherd who every day he's concerned about my well-being. He's concerned about my life, where I'm at, where I'm going. He's concerned about me as one of his. Being a sheep of his pasture. My friend, he could walk through one pasture, he had 100 sheep. He could walk through that pasture and all those sheep looked the same to me. I told you a while ago, but he knew. He knew each individual sheep. He knew which one had been caught in a fence and had broke his leg. He knew which one had used to be a budding lamb a budding ewe. He knew which one would graze on this side of the pasture. He knew his sheep because daily, He walked among them. I'm thankful for a shepherd who can bring us freedom from fears and freedom from friction and freedom from these pests and aggravations, these worries. and anxieties, if you will. He can bring us a peace. And once again, the only solution is to get in the presence of the Master. You say, preacher, is there this place? Is there this place where I can lie down, where I can be at peace, where I can be at rest? Because every day I live with these distractions, these anxieties, these worries, these cares. Is there this place where I can find peace? And I want you to know, yes, there is. Where is that at? It is in His care. In His care, there's peace. In His care, there's contentment. In His care, there is rest for the child of God. But here's the deal. It's got to be in His care. Because as long as it's your worry and your anxiety and your troubles, then you own it and you'll have to deal with it. But the minute you take His promise, where He says, cast your cares upon Me, for I care for you. The minute you take His promise and you take your anxieties and your worries and the things you're fretting over, and you say, Lord, this is what's eating me up. This is what's worrying me. This is what's troubling me. I release it and get it off of myself and I give it to You. The minute you let Him take ownership of your life, then your anxieties become His and He'll handle them and bring you that peace, contentment, quietness that only a good shepherd can bring. Cast your cares upon Him. That word cast, there's actually two Greek words that are joined together to give us that word cast in the Bible. One of those Greek words means rough breathing. Rough breathing. Hang on, I'm about to get there. And the other Greek word means a sudden motion. Rough breathing and a sudden motion is where we get that word care, which means to throw. And so here's what it would look like. Watch this. If you had a 100-pound sack of corn, you're lifting from the ground to the high bed of a truck, it would look like this. You've done that before. Been there, amen? Listen, we have some deacons that volunteer to do that kind of heavy lifting. If you have that to go on around your house or farm, you call our deacons and they will come out this week and help you do all that heavy lifting. They're servants at heart. And so that's what the Bible's saying. Cast your care upon Him. Cast your care upon Him. Get rid of it. Throw it. That word cast means to throw. But you know what we do? We're all dignified. We're all together. We drink our tea with our pinky in the air. We're okay. Everything is fine. My car's washed for Sunday. We pulled into the parking lot, obeying the speed limit, minding the laws of the state. We didn't blow our horn at anybody. We didn't get road rage. We didn't give anybody hand signals to get out of their way. We're okay. We have it together. How are you this morning? Oh, Pastor David, I'm so fine this morning. We are classy. We are dignified. We have grown ourselves above coming to this hospital for sick and hurting and wounded, where we can just jump up and bring all of our tears and our weepings to the altar and throw our cares on the Lord, where we can confess that everything's not okay, that I am not at peace and I am not at contentment and I'm not at rest lying in green pastures, but I've got some things I'm worrying about and I'm troubled about. And gone nearly are the days. Thank God we still see it at Liberty, but gone nearly are the days where people will weep their way down an aisle and then weep themselves in this altar and just give all of their cares to the Lord and just get rid of it and throw it upon Him, because He said, cast your cares upon Me because I care for you. Where we take our anxieties and troubles and we give it to Jesus, the Master, the Shepherd of our souls. So we've got to be free from these pests. You getting this morning? Say amen. Good. If you're 10:57, if you're not, I'm going to start over. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. So a sheep has to be free from those pests. She has to be free from fear, to be able to lie down in green pastures, to be able to have quietness, peace, rest. He's got to be free from fear. He has to be free from friction or tensions, if you will. And he has to be free from these pests, these aggravations, worries and troubles. And girls, you can come to this piano and get ready for the invitation. But lastly, he's got to be free from hunger. He's got to be free from hunger. A sheep will not lie down in green pastures if they are hungry. One of the things that's not mentioned when we talk about sheep is that some of your countries that are top countries for the raising of sheep and the pasturing of sheep, those countries are dry and semi-arid regions of the world. Many of those Middle Eastern and African nations, they're very, very dry, arid regions. And so for sheep to thrive, what it means is that the shepherd, he's got to do a lot of extra work. That means he's got to go get out all the rocks off of a piece of dry, barren ground. That means he's got to get rid of all of the weeds and the less nutritious or no nutrition grasses. And he's got to get good stuff planted. He's got to get green grasses planted where those sheep can get out there and forage, and where they can graze, and where they can eat and get full. And then he's got to devise irrigation methods to get water, even in ancient times, still to this day, in areas like Afghanistan even. There's old irrigation systems where 2,000 years ago, where folks, shepherds raising sheep, where they devised ways to get water to those pasture lands. This is all basic common knowledge to you here in Franklin County, but when we think about sheep and green pastures, we just assume that they're pastured in good land. But where the psalmist David is writing from, this area of Palestine, it's brown, it's dry, and it's dusty. And so a shepherd had to go the extra length to bring those green grasses and those blessings. Let me tell you something. The quietness that is available to us, the stillness that is available to us, this contentment that's available, the peace that is available to us. The shepherd had to go through extra work and extra measures to bring it to you and I. What did he have to do, Pastor, to bring me peace? What did he have to do to bring me rest? I tell you what he had to do. He was born of a virgin in Bethlehem, lived a sinless life, suffered a sacrificial death on Calvary's hill, shed his life-giving blood, become a substitute in my place, and rose again on that third day. That's what he did to bring me peace and rest as one of his sheep. He has to go the extra length to make it happen, extra work. And so good pasture is essential, because hungry sheep will not lay down in green pastures. One of the requirements that must be met is they must be free from hunger. And for a sheep to graze in green pastures, it matters. It makes all the difference in its health. It makes all the difference in the quality of milk that a sheep gives to its lambs. In fact, it has been known for a lamb from birth that is raised in the best pastures, therefore giving its lambs the best milk. It has been known before for a lamb that in 100 days from birth gain a pound a day, and in 100 days become 100 pounds because the pastures can be so good. You know, I guess we're like sheep more than we realize. One Big Mac meal at McDonald's and we can gain 5 pounds. But so a sheep has got to be free from hunger. Now I want to say something about this. Some people... The Bible, when the Lord spoke to the children of Israel, was leading them into the land of milk and honey. Some people try to say the land of milk and honey is a picture of heaven. I don't think that it is, because though it was a land of overflow, a land of abundance, there were battles to fight. They had to go in, and it was a time of conquest, of taking land that God said, it's yours, I give it to you, but you got to go take it. Well, there's going to be no battles in heaven. There's going to be no wars in heaven. We know that. I think it's just a picture of the abundant, spirit-filled life is what I believe. I believe, see, today we've got so many believers in the church, so many believers worldwide who are not living a life of overflow and abundance. They're just kind of living a life of mediocrity, just living a life just barely getting by, just living a life just barely hanging on, if you will, to the Christian life or the Christian faith, just living a life where they're always lacking and wanting on the inside. But I want you to know that what Jesus has promised us is he has promised us a life of overflow and a life of abundance. He didn't promise us a life free of worries, free of anxieties, free of troubles, free of strife, or free of all of these things. But he did promise us that while we're going through anxieties, while we're experiencing fears, while we're experiencing frictions, while we're experiencing all of these things, that we can still have a life of overflow and a life of abundance, and we can live a victorious Christian life. We don't always have to be beat down. We don't always have to be kicked around. We don't have to be beat up by the devil, but God has given us victory in Christ Jesus so we can live a victorious life in Jesus with overflow and with abundance. So my question to you is this: where do you stand in all that? Are you just kind of sliding by? So-so? Struggles overcome you more than victories do? Worries overtake you more than peace does? Because one of the things he said was, I'll give you a land of milk and honey. That's excess. That's excess. That's overflow in our lives. And by the way, the only way you can minister to a world around you is when you minister from overflow. It's got to be from overflow. Preacher, how do I get that? You just get with Jesus. You take his word and get in his word and talk to him in prayer and let him talk to you and speak to you and allow his presence to so overcome you and so fill you that you're just living in the overflow. And it's possible to be eat up with anxieties, to be eat up with worries, fears, all of these things. It's possible to be eat up with all that and still experience an overflow of God's Spirit in your life. Let me say this. Those green grasses and the fact that he makes us lie down in green pastures. Only a full sheep will lie down where there's peace, contentment, and quietness. Only a full sheep. So if you don't have peace, quiet, contentment, then you're not full this morning. But you get near him and he'll fill you up. He'll let you have overflow and excess. So what does that full sheep does? Well, one of the things that happens when he's pastured in green pasture and a shepherd's went the distance to make sure it's good pasture, not sorry pasture, is that sheep can go out and in a very short amount of time, he can get full and lie down in green pastures. So he doesn't spend all day like the sheep across the road who's in a bad pasture, who has to be on his feet all day long, constantly searching, looking, walking, just trying to find a little bit of grass or nourishment here and there. No, he just gets up and on those green grasses. I dreamed about this last night. He gets up in those green grasses and he gets full and he lays down. And then what does he do? Well, he ruminates. You know what that is. He chews his cud. And what's he doing when he chews his cud? Well, see, he's went out that morning. The shepherds put him out in those green pastures. Luscious green grasses, clovers. The shepherds put him out there. The shepherds walked among him. Maybe the shepherds treated them for flies or diseases. Maybe the shepherds had to take a rod to an old budding ewe. The shepherd has cared for them, provided for them, and they've got in that green pasture, and they've eaten, they've got full, and they've laid down, and then they start chewing their cud. They bring up what they took in, they just chew on it, and they're at peace and at contentment. I see in the life of a believer this: God pastures us in green pastures. The good place, the good stuff. He doesn't leave us in barren ground to make it on our own and find whatever we can find to satisfy our longings. But he gives us the good stuff. Graces, mercies, the land of milk and honey. They may be battles, but he brings overflowing victory to our lives. And then in just a short amount of time, we get filled up on it. We ought to sit back and we ought to bring that back up again and chew on some of that for a while. Maybe that old sheep, I'm just saying, I don't know. I hadn't had a conversation with one lately. But maybe he lays down in those green pastures. He belches up that blessing from that morning and starts chewing that cud. And maybe he's thinking, boy, this green grass sure is good. Maybe he's thinking, boy, I remember when I was in a barren pasture with another shepherd who didn't care about me and how I had to fend for myself and how I had to eat this and eat that and it never satisfied the longing of my soul. But oh, this shepherd I got now, he gave me some green, lush grass this morning. And I am so thankful. And boy, that was so good this morning. Laying out there in that sunshine, or grazing out there in that sunshine, eating, getting the blessings he's given me. Oh, he's good to me. And he'll just chew on that some more. And then that old ewe may look around at her lambs around her. And she may look at a brother or a sister, or whatever the case may be, and she may chew on that cud and say, oh, what a blessing this is. What a blessing. I'm in peace and contentment and quietness. My shepherd's watching over me. In fact, look, yonder he stands. I don't have no fear over an old wolf or over an old coyote. I don't have fear over an old wild dog. I don't have fear over a robber coming trying to steal me in the dark of night. Why, yonder's my shepherd. He's always near. Boy, he's going to chew on it. Ain't that good? Ain't that good? Another night we was just sleeping in the pasture under the stars. We heard something that scared us. Looked around and here come our shepherd just passing through making sure everything's all right. Amen. Chew on that cud. Oh, isn't he good? Isn't he so good? And boy, how you and I tell you this, one of the quickest ways for you and I to get full so we can lie down in peace and contentment. Start thinking on God's past blessings in our lives. Start remembering. Remember that time when you had this need in God. Remember that time when you prayed and God stepped in. Remember that time when you were so struck with fear and life was over, but God. You remember that time when you had no clue. You knew there was no way out, but God did this. Start remembering all that God has done in our lives. And then start remembering just exactly who he is. That he made all of those sheep. That he made all of those pastures and those hills. And all of those cattle on those thousands of hills. That he made the sun and he made the grass to grow. That he done all of that. That God made you. And he made you knowing you and who you are. And despite all of that, he loves you. He cares for you, and he knows better how to minister you than anybody else does. And so this morning, listen, these four requirements that must be met before a sheep will lie down in green pastures. And maybe you're here this morning, and well, there's just not been any rest. There's just not been any peace. There's just not been any contentment because one of these four factors have been missing in your life. And you just, not only do you need a touch from the Master, and not only do you need to get full this morning so you can experience abundance and overflow, man, you got to get rid of those cares and those anxieties, and you got to lose your dignity and your pride and throw it on Jesus. Put it on King Jesus and let him handle it. Let him minister to you. But you've come this morning, and to be quite frank, you are just tired of not having satisfaction in Jesus, not having contentment, not having quietness, not having stillness. And this morning, well, it's high time because that's what he's promised us as believers. Even living in a sinful world, even soldiering in Christian warfare, it's possible to have peace and stillness through Christ Jesus our Lord. And this morning, you want that to be yours. And as soon as they sing the first word, you step out and come. Stand, ladies, you sing, and come.